QST from the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. This is the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for August 20th, 2014. The ARRL Aries Audio e-letter is an edited voice version of the ARRL Aries e-letter, which is compiled by Rick Palm, K1CE. The ARRL Aries e-letter is available online at arrl.org/ares-el. Or you may listen to the audio version at arrl.org/ares-e-letter-audio-version. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland. And my audio script writer and editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB, in Laurel, Maryland. In this issue, we have for you a brief history of Aries. At press time, initial storm Isel reports from Hawaii. First annual joint tribal emergency management conference. FEMA and ARRL sign agreement. FEMA administrator calls ham radio resilient. International news. Thailand's famed HS0AC station refurbished. ARRL partners. APCO 2014 conference and exhibit a wrap. Public service. Northern New York amateurs support Ironman 2014. National Community Neighborhood Exercise Series. Letters, Hospital Communications for Hurricane Katrina. September 2014, National Preparedness Month. And K1CE for a final. Those are the headlines. Now here are the stories. A Brief History of Aries. The following from Rick Palm, K1CE, was based on an excellent article by Gil McElroy, BE3PKD, that appeared in the September 2007 issue of QST Magazine. As we celebrate 100 years of the ARRL, we reached a seminal moment in time when we are sparked to reflect on the past while looking to the future with a sense of inquiry and wonder. This has certainly been the theme of the ARRL's centennial celebration this year. QST has featured fascinating look-backs at pivotal points in the league's and amateur radio's history this year, with more to come. Continuing this theme, let's take a brief look at the role of amateur radio in public service, disaster, and emergency communications over the past 100 years. In the early days, amateur radio and hams were considered irritations and nuisances to the real communicators, the commercial sector, and the military. We were almost outlawed and ultimately relegated to the useless frequencies of 200 meters and down. That was until it was demonstrated that we could actually be of use as a service. In 1913, college students who were hams in Michigan and Ohio passed disaster messages when other means of communications were down in the aftermath of severe storms and flooding in that part of the country. A Department of Commerce bulletin followed, proposing a dedicated communications network of radio amateurs to serve during disasters. 5 special licenses were reportedly issued. A magazine article noted that amateurs, who were once considered nuisances, were now considered to be essential auxiliary assets of the national public welfare. The ARRL was formed in 1914, and disaster response communications, as provided by radio amateurs, became organized and useful. In 1920, amateur radio was used to help recover a stolen car, of all things. Soon, the use of amateur radio for natural disasters that we traditionally think of now emerged with hams active in deadly flooding in New Mexico and an ice storm in Minnesota. More organization followed, with an MOU, or Memorandum of Understanding, emerging with the American Railroad System for amateur radio support when the railroad's wire lines were down. There was an ARRL Railroad Emergency Service Committee. There was even a Q signal designated, QRR, a kind of land SOS. More reports of disaster response communications provided by amateurs appeared in QST, much as they do here in this newsletter today. A major New England flood had amateurs supplying the only efficient means of communications from the devastated areas to the outside world, prompting the chairman of the Federal Radio Commission to say, "The future of radio depends on amateurs." Hams worked with the Burgess Battery Company for emergency radio power. Many old-timers have used those batteries when they were kids for their crystal radio kits. They looked like tall, thick candle columns. More organization followed, and traffic handling was recommended as the best way to gain discipline and proficiency to prepare for the efficiency and effectiveness needed in response to communications situations. ARRL Field Day was started to prepare amateurs for portable operation, as was necessary in disaster situations when commercial power and means of communications were down. In 1935, the ARRL Emergency Corps was formed with the goal of having an amateur radio emergency station in every community. That's a goal that remains just as urgent today as it did then. To wit, just look at today's emphasis on the neighborhood and community as first responder, and on self-reliance in the post-disaster survival chain. More served agencies emerged as potential partners, including the Red Cross. In 1936, major flooding across a 14-state region served as the ARRL Emergency Corps' first major testing, serving well and solidifying amateur radio status as a critical disaster response communications asset and public service. Communications operating protocols and the appointment of emergency coordinators followed. Technical advances supported this evolution. Spark gap transmitters gave way to the vacuum tube, making portable operations more viable. Articles on portable transmitters and receivers appeared in QST. Exploration and experimentation in the VHF region also spurred more development of portable equipment. The development of the variable frequency oscillator, or VFO, something that modern generations of hams take for granted, was at the time a liberating breakthrough, offering more versatility and flexibility, and more efficiency, of course, in meeting the demands of a disaster response communication situation. World War II meant a shutdown of amateur radio. But many hams joined the War Emergency Radio Service, which did provide some communications during the war period for natural disasters. After the war, the ARRL reconstituted its disaster response communications programs and networks, and the first simulated emergency test was run in 1946. The Cold War followed, and the Radio Amateur Civil Emergency Service, or RACES, was formed by the government for civil defense, or CD, purposes, the forerunner of the modern emergency management model that we know so well today. Throughout the 60s and later up to today, the role, procedures, protocols, equipment, and techniques of amateur radio in public service, disaster, and emergency communications continue to evolve, ebb, and flow. This evolution is fueled by advances in amateur radio technology and its application, and in lessons learned from each and every incident that involves amateur communications support. We'll pause now for our first station break. This is the ARRL Aries Audio E-Letter for August 20th, 2014. At press time, initial Stormy Cell reports from Hawaii. Tropical Storm Isel made landfall on the Big Island of Hawaii on Friday, August 8, 2014. Isel formed in the eastern Pacific as Tropical Depression 09E on Thursday, July 31st. The Central Pacific Hurricane Center assumed forecasting responsibility when the storm crossed 140 degrees west longitude as a Category 2 hurricane. It was near 16.4 degrees north latitude and heading west by northwest on Tuesday, August 5th at around 5 a.m. Isel had peaked as a Category 4 hurricane the day before. The area of the Kayu Coast from Cape Kamakahi through South Point received material damage. Many trees fell in the Paradise Park and neighboring area, obstructing roads and power lines. The storm surge pushed bowling ball-sized rocks and black sand into beachside homes. Aluminum siding was stripped off of homes. Rainfall caused flooding, mud, and debris, requiring cleanup. The Hawaiian Electric Company reported 21,900 customers were affected by loss of power. Hundreds lined up for ice, water, tarps, and supplies. With the anticipated arrival of ESEL, cooperative arrangements with served agencies and amateur radio groups were set in motion and activated. Power was lost to the Kalani and Mauloa repeaters, and backup power failed, so the majority of operations took place on the Mauna Kea repeater. Simplex was used extensively on the Big Island. The Department of Emergency Management, or DEM, RACES, and the American Red Cross, ARC, team set up equipment at the ARC headquarters on Thursday afternoon and monitored VHF and UHF frequencies. Operations commenced at 3 p.m. on Thursday and ran until 4 p.m. on Friday when the shelters were closed. HF assets would not be deployed until after the storm had passed, as communications with the three primary shelters were affected through the state RACES VHF and UHF repeater network. Headcounts and requests for supplies from shelters were communicated. Planning for the event for the amateur community started 7 days before landfall. Recognizing that, initially, it would be a weather event with possible escalation to damage to the counties, the radio communications plan was drafted to use the state RACES VHF repeaters and link them to others in the to-be-affected areas to provide a common channel for the primary purpose of weather reporting. Frequency coordination information was promulgated, and a web page was created and updated with frequency plans and expected start times for operations prior to the storm's landfall. Two complete VHF-UHF radio systems with FL Digi capability and printer were deployed using commercial power. Battery backup and generator were available in case of power outages. Two-person shifts were conducted, with a primary communicator monitoring and the second on shift resting until needed. 12 p.m. and 12 a.m. shelter counts and requests for additional supplies were taken and relayed to the ARC representative at the DEMs and EOC. The southeast side of the Big Island sustained a fair amount of damage. Post-storm damage assessments were conducted and relayed on the VOAD repeater on Mauna Kea. At 10:05 p.m. Thursday night, a Skywarn net announced information and obtained observations on flooding, storm surges, road blockages, and similar reports. Honolulu County DEM RACES operations were conducted from 6 p.m. Thursday to 3 p.m. on Friday, and repeaters of the linked State Civil Defense RACES DEM repeater system were monitored. Peter Ewan, KH6JBS, reported to the Kaiser High School shelter on Friday after completing his assignment at State Civil Defense. For Kauai, the statewide Skywarn net was accessible on the Peacock Flats 146.76 MHz repeater for amateur stations located on the eastern portion of the island. Radio activity on Kauai was light because there was no significant weather there from ESEL. Maui Ares activated at the Maui County EOC for Skywarn operations at 6 p.m. Thursday, August 7th, with termination at 3 p.m. the next day. The EOC was set up to operate on 40 meters and on the state RACES repeater. Reports received included power outages in the upcountry Maui area and some reports of damage in the Ulapalakula area. Most stations reported little or no damage and only brief heavy rainfall. Tad Miura, NH7YS, on Kauai noted, "The effectiveness of the Skywarn net was largely due to the work of the statewide coordinator, Clement Jung, KH7HO, in building the Skywarn amateur radio structure for Hawaii over the years. Ron Hashiro, AH6RH, the Hawaii State Races coordinator, was also credited for his leadership in coordinating and promoting amateur radio public service communications in Hawaii. Thanks for this fine report goes to Paul Agamata, WH6FM, Kevin Bogan, AH6QO, Mel Fugunaga, KH6H, Ron Hashiro, AH6RH, Clem Jung, KH7HO, Stephen Levy, NH7ZP, Tad Miura, NH7YS, Harvey Motomura, AH6JA, Chuck O, N6NCT, and the ARRL Pacific Section Manager Bob Schneider, AH6J. First Annual Joint Tribal Emergency Management Conference. Aries Races was a featured part of the largest gathering of tribal disaster preparedness, recovery, hazard mitigation, and homeland security professionals in the country. This took place August 13th through 15th at the Northern Quest Resort in Airway Heights, Washington. The conference was organized by the National Tribal Emergency Management Council in conjunction with the Northwest Tribal Emergency Management Council and was hosted at a facility owned by the Kalispell Tribe. There are 566 recognized tribes in the United States. The Pacific Northwest is home to 272 of those, and Washington State is home to 29 tribes. Conference guests Jay Johnson, the Secretary of the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, Senators Mark Begich and John Tester, T.J. Kennedy, the Acting General Manager of FirstNet at the U.S. Department of Commerce, and others spoke to approximately 400 registered attendees. As part of the pre-conference activities on Monday and Tuesday, Jack Tilley, AD7FO, and Bob Peterson, KE7RAP, taught a technician license class, and 8 of 14 students taking the technician examination passed on Tuesday afternoon. In response to a National Weather Service severe thunderstorm warning on Tuesday evening, Robert Weiss, W7UWC, the Spokane County EC, coordinated a weather spotter net on the 147.30 MHz W7GBU repeater. While the conference attendees experienced the thunderstorm activity, they did not hear this net. However, the description of the net provided very current and relevant additional content for the disaster communications via amateur radio presentation on Wednesday morning. A live over-the-air VHF demonstration was held during that class, with amateurs located elsewhere in Spokane County. A FEMA Corps volunteer talked briefly with Laurie Aberly, KG7IEO, and a description of the coverage area of the repeater by Scott Christensen, WA7SRC, garnered very positive comments from those in the conference room. Idaho Section Manager Ed Stuckey, AI7H, brought in an HF rig on Thursday, and his 40-meter dipole antenna was strung between speaker stands down the hall way outside the conference rooms. The Faraday Cage building at the Northern Quest Resort inhibited nearly all attempts at indoor reception, but the display generated a lot of interest from conference attendees for over 4 hours after the end of the Building Your Amateur Radio Station presentation. On Friday, attendees were able to view a live ad hoc mesh network during the Amateur Radio Digital Data Communications presentation. The tribal emergency management leaders who attended this conference are quite interested in building an amateur radio component into their emergency disaster preparedness plans. It's up to all Aries and Races groups to extend a welcoming hand to the tribal communities in their respective areas. If you have a tribe near you, make sure interoperability with their tribal EOC is in your operations plan. Invite them to take part in your local drills and exercises, and think about giving the tribe a list of local ELMers they can contact as needed. Thanks to Steve Aberly, WA7PTM, an ARRL official emergency station in the Western Washington section for this report. There is more news to follow, so stay tuned. This is the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for August 20th, 2014. We continue with FEMA and ARRL sign agreement. FEMA administrator calls ham radio resilient. The ARRL and the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, have announced a memorandum of agreement that will enhance cooperation between the League and FEMA in the area of disaster communication. FEMA Administrator Craig Fugit, KK4INZ, and ARRL President K. Craigie, N3KN, signed the agreement on July 18th during the ARRL National Centennial Convention at the Connecticut Convention Center in Hartford, Connecticut. Mr. Fugit said, "Radio is one of the most resilient communications technologies we have. When the power is out and telecommunications are down, the amateur radio community can serve as a vital resource in support of emergency responders and survivors during a disaster. This MOA will strengthen FEMA's partnership with the ARRL and build upon our work to expand emergency communications capabilities and the use of amateur radio in emergency management." International news. Thailand's famed HS0AC station refurbished. Following Thailand's worst flooding in 2011 that killed 800 people, affected nearly 14 million, and disrupted the economy, the famed HS0AC amateur radio station is restored and now complete with a meeting facility at the Asian Institute of Technology. The devastating flooding in 65 of 77 provinces also destroyed the amateur radio facility in central Thailand, which received many donations and offers of help to reestablish it. During the flood, Thai radio amateurs stepped in to help with disaster response communications and handed out supplies. Working with the Ministry of Public Health, they saved almost 1,000 lives. The National Broadcasting and Telecommunications Commission, or NBTC, used HS0AB for the government's Flood Relief Operations Command. The NBTC praised the role that radio amateurs played to help people cope with the disaster by providing communication support, which was especially helpful in flooded areas where several mobile phone cell sites had failed. Government agencies used the amateur radio communications infrastructure when their own networks failed. Using their skills and experience, radio amateurs kept communicating with one another under adverse conditions. Radio Amateur Society of Thailand, RAST, President Jack Hantong Kom, HS1FVL, who recently led a restoration team, held an HS0AC open house event on August 3rd. Mr. Hantong Kom invited Thai Radio Club representatives to attend. Several RAST members donated equipment. Yaesu donated model FT2000 transceivers, and the IARU Region 3 donated new antennas. Thanks to Jim Linton, VK3PC, the chairman of the IARU Region 3 Disaster Communications Committee, for this submission. ARRL Partners, APCO 2014 Conference and Exhibit, a wrap. The final session on the last day of the APCO 2014 conference, held earlier this month, featured a FirstNet town hall forum with the room filled to its capacity. There was lively dialogue between FirstNet officials and more than 100 representatives from the 9/11 first responders. FirstNet is establishing a nationwide interoperable public safety broadband network dedicated for first responders and is working with the National Public Safety Telecommunications Council, or MPSTC, the Association of Public Safety Communications Officials, or APCO, and other groups. The work is centering on network requirements and on defining how standards can support building future networks as public safety grade. The Middle Class Tax Relief and Job Creation Act of 2012 created the First Responder Network Authority, FirstNet, as an independent authority with the National Telecommunications and Information Administration, or NTIA, to provide emergency responders with the first high-speed nationwide network dedicated to public safety. FirstNet Acting General Manager Mr. T.J. Kennedy cited organizations and associations like APCO and how FirstNet is fortunate to have an active forum, the Public Safety Advisory Committee, also known as the PSAC, for engaging public safety and state and local government officials on a regular basis. The PSAC has helped FirstNet enhance its understanding of a number of policy, operational, and technical issues affecting emergency communications, including public safety's use of land mobile radio, or LMR, and broadband technologies. For this year's conference, FirstNet participated in discussions about the deployment of next-generation 911 and the future integration with the Public Safety Broadband Network. Public Service, Northern New York Amateurs, support Ironman 2014. Thomas Dick, KF2GC, the ARRL Northern New York Section Manager, tells us 32 amateur radio operators from across Northern New York supported the Ironman Lake Placid 2014 Endurance Competition on July 31st. Operators established communication stations and worked them for coverage of a three-county course area. Vital communications links were established among emergency management, EMS personnel in numerous ambulances, aid stations along the course route, and for health and welfare traffic. Mr. Dick reported, "Our communications are coordinated with Ironman, EMS, and state, county, and municipal authorities." Mr. Dick also said, "Over the past 15 years of experience with supporting this event, we have helped many of our amateurs refine their communication skills in emergency ICS protocols and technical performance. Many amateurs worked long 8 to 18-hour shifts and covered a host of different tasks. We often help ambulance drivers by relaying routing information for various medical facilities while keeping those en route safe and respecting the traffic routing restrictions imposed by event managers." Mr. Dick added, "The amateur radio net controllers kept EMS technicians aware of athletes who were having medical issues and if they needed transport to the medical tent or hospitals. Station operators in the field often track down reports of athletes who are experiencing health-related issues, such as injuries, cramps, heat exhaustion, and dehydration. Each year is different from the next, owing to weather, road conditions, and the numbers of athletes competing in the Ironman." Mr. Dick concluded, "One thing is for sure. From the starting gun at the Lake Placid Beach until the last runner comes across the finish line many hours later, is that amateur radio volunteers will be there helping the athletes in many ways by providing communications of their health and welfare status and keeping all safe." National Community Neighborhood Exercise Series. The series of formidable footprint exercises for neighborhood, community, and faith-based organizations continues. On September 27th, a hurricane is the scenario. October 25th will feature a solar storm, and on January 31st, there will be a flood scenario. Exercises have also been scheduled for earthquake, influenza pandemic, tornado, and wildfire scenarios. The Formidable Footprint Exercise Series has been developed in accordance with Homeland Security Exercise and Evaluation Program, or HSEEP, protocols. The objective of the exercise series is for CERTs, neighborhood watch programs, neighborhood associations, community faith-based organizations, citizen corps, fire corps, and others to work as a team to become better prepared for the next disaster their community may face. There is no charge for participation in any of the Formidable Footprint exercises. For additional information or to register for upcoming exercises, please click on the following website: www.formidablefootprint.org. Let me repeat that: www.formidablefootprint.org. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this station break. Welcome back. This is the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for August 20th, 2014. Now we have a letter, Hospital Communications for Hurricane Katrina. Richard Webb, NF5B in West Burlington, Iowa, wrote, "I would like to add some comments to your recent series of articles on hospital communications. I served at Louisiana State University Medical Centers, known as Charity and University Hospitals, in New Orleans as a radio communicator during Katrina in 2005, along with my spouse. Before Katrina, we participated frequently in hospital drills and other programs to educate ourselves about the hospital and its needs. We were well prepared with backup battery power and spares, both antennas and radios, to get on the air during a hurricane or other disaster. We deployed to the University Hospital campus 36 hours before Katrina hit New Orleans, so we were able to make sure everything was operating correctly. Some have expressed concerns regarding HIPPA or HIPAA privacy laws. We provided health and welfare messages outbound for patients and staff that week, but at no time conveyed protected information in those communications. All such communications were at patients' request. My spouse and I are trained traffic handlers and net control stations. We manned a simplex net for intercommunication among hospital personnel, both on VHF and an FRS channel, as well as HF for communication with other served agencies. HF radio enabled us to effect some evacuation of patients we could no longer serve adequately, as well as to arrange for the delivery of supplies and equipment needed by boat, and also the patient evacuations, sometimes by helicopter. Without HF communications capability that week we spent on Hospital Island, we would have been severely handicapped in our efforts to provide for the needs of hospital staff and patients. Although we had VHF and UHF FM capabilities, we found ourselves using HF assets more because VHF and UHF frequencies did not give us reliable, timely communications with those we needed to reach. HF single sideband was our primary lifeline to the outside world. Thanks for your recent discussion of these issues in the Aries e-letter." September 2014, National Preparedness Month. This is the first National Preparedness Month, or NPM, that will also include the America's Preparathon, or AP, Fall Day of Action on September 30th. We at FEMA hope you will join us once again in this major annual campaign. You may find that you are already planning on doing something that qualifies as an AP event. We hope you will find our resources helpful, and we look forward to hearing about your activities during National Preparedness Month. We are hoping to promote private sector activities, both internally and externally, including in our September newsletter. For more tips and information about the NPM, visit www.ready.gov/September. That URL again is www.ready.gov/September. And now it's time for K1CE for a final. Rick Palm reports, "Last month's ARRL Centennial Convention in Hartford, Connecticut was a huge success. I enjoyed," he said, "seeing old and new friends alike, along with many readers of the Aries e-letter. I also appreciated the time that ARRL's Mike Corey, KI1U, and Becky Schoenfeld, W1BXY, spent with me going over the ARRL programs and consequently our publications. They were both busy with convention duties, yet graciously managed to spend an hour with me at the ARRL headquarters. Thanks to both of them. 73 from Rick Palm, K1CE in Daytona Beach, Florida. And that's the ARRL Aries Audio E-Letter for August 20th, 2014. The ARRL Aries Audio E-Letter is a monthly service of the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Organization for Amateur Radio. The ARRL Aries Audio E-Letter is a voice version of the ARRL Aries E-Letter, compiled and written by Rick Palm, K1CE. To learn more about amateur radio, or to get the latest in amateur radio news, please visit ARRL.org on the World Wide Web. Our thanks to this month's contributors. The audio script was written and edited by Al Brown, KZ3AB, in Laurel, Maryland. Thanks for listening, and 73. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland. Copyright 2014 ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. All rights reserved.